Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, millennials. Happy Monday. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Hope everybody had a fabulous, relaxing, rejuvenating, renewing weekend.
Yes, happy Monday. I had a nice weekend. I could have like gone for one more day of weekend. You know, but you always can. Actually, sometimes I feel
rested,
super satisfied from the weekend.
Yeah, no, when I woke up this morning, I was like 90% sure it was Sunday, but I'm having one of those days where like, it's Sunday, but I think it's a Monday. No, but it was actually Monday, and it was really depressing way to wake up.
That is quite depressing, but it was a pretty good weekend. I actually watched so much TV. I read a lot, and so I'll have a lot to share in our TV recap segment.
Fabulous, in our TV recap segment.
I hadn't turned on my TV in a whole week, because I just had been reading, except for to watch Housewives for this show. But like in terms of binging, there are so many shows that I watch that have new seasons, like Billions, Bold Type, Queen of the South. Like I have so much
Money
on my
Heist.
Roster. No, I watched Money Heist finally after years of talking about it. But so I watched Bold Type season 4B because there was a break. So I watched the rest of the season. I watched them just take everything that was great about the show and just drive it right into the ground.
Oh.
And then I started Billions, the new season, so good. And I watched our Toast Movie of the Week, which is, I think, maybe, I don't want to speak too soon, but might be my favorite done we've ever done.
We will get
favorite
into it.
Favorite done we've
and
ever done.
We're also going to assign our next movie of the week. But yes, I totally agree. This was a fantastic choice. I literally have like pages and pages in my notes wanting to like mention so many things. I really loved the movie. It was honestly in the same vein as like The Color of Friendship. Like kids, movies directed really for kids, but ageless, timeless lessons.
It was spot on. I was laughing. I was crying. I literally was getting chills the whole time. And at one point I got full body chills from my fingertips to my toes.
Yeah, no,
chills.
It was a fabulous choice. So thank you to everyone who recommended it. And
it was
continues.
One person suggested it like a while back when we started up Toast Movie of the Week again. I just remembered it in my head. So whoever that was back in June, you know who you are probably who suggested it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Hope everyone had a fabulous weekend. Jax, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do I look any different to you?
Okay. I don't know, but I know that you did something that I actually want to ask you about.
Yeah.
Like the shaving of the fotch.
I shaved my fotch. Even though, like, to say you shaved your face makes it seem like you're from The Greatest Showman, The Bearded Lady. No.
No, you know, Marilyn Monroe shaved her face every day.
Yeah, so it's not really face shaving. It's dermaplaning.
Yeah.
And it's not really like a razor. I'm not taking my Billy razor across my forehead. It's like these tiny, thin, like, Japanese blades that I got from Sephora, which, by the way, I went to Sephora this weekend for, like, the first time in months. And I have to give them major kudos. It was such a fabulous experience.
Oh, that's so great to hear, because I went a little while ago and I found it to be a little stressful, but I actually need to re-up on my makeup, so maybe I'll go and have the same fabulous experience. And I do want to hear about your dermaplaning, because I think the experience you had putting on your makeup today was the exact opposite of mine. I literally had so many crumbles because I like washed my foundation brush and I got a bug bite on my face last night.
Let me see where.
It's here. And so it was red. So I put some like green primer.
Color correcting.
And all of it just, it was crumbles.
You know, you need to shave your fotch. I've been dying to do it. I just see videos on Instagram, which is, I know, not a good place for like aesthetician like tips, but I've just been really wanting to do it. I've heard so many benefits. You're not really like shaving your like mustache. Areas where you grow black, well, not you, but like people like who look like me grow black, thick hair, like upper lip and eyebrow, you're supposed to avoid those areas because that type of hair is prone to grow back much thicker and faster. But if you're shaving the peach fuzz, like on your cheeks, near your hairline, your forehead, your chin, and I did my nose, it's not supposed to grow back any different. And it can take like 6 weeks to grow back. So you don't have to shave your face that much. And what I found to be the most beneficial part, I watched a million videos on how to do it, and I watched it from estheticians, not beauty gurus, because I feel like I want the real deal.
Yeah.
And one of them said something so interesting. She's like, most people skip their nose, but if you have a lot of blackheads on your nose, you can literally, and like a lot of them are like full term, you know, mm-hmm. you can literally scrape and see like the tops, she was calling them the plugs, come out. And I have so many blackheads on my nose, and I cover them up with makeup really well, but when I was done, I had about 75% less blackheads on my nose. It was so crazy. And then you're not supposed to really put on makeup. So I took like 8 hours, but then I had to go to dinner. So I put on makeup and I put it on super fast. But this morning I gave myself a lot of time to do my makeup with my new skin. And it literally is such a visible difference. Stop.
Okay, I'm going to do it because I'm actually the queen of peach fuzz.
But they say you're really supposed to do it at like a facialist. Like it's much better to go to a real esthetician, but that's not an option for me right now. And I needed new skin fast.
That's not an option right now, even though we entered phase four.
Did we?
Today, yes. I got a notification.
Is that indoor restaurants?
Nope. It's zoos and botanical gardens.
Well, zoos so should be shut down.
I know that like you've really been struggling in quarantine because you weren't able to go to the local botanical garden.
Yeah, no, that's 100% it.
And so I think that's something that we should do this week, really cheer you up.
Yeah, I mean, I actually almost got married at the Brooklyn Botanical Garden. So actually going back there brings back like these terrible memories because I didn't end up getting married there.
Very sad. Well, I think I might shave my fotch.
You should think about it.
I think I'm actually the perfect candidate. One, peach fuzz everywhere.
So it's peach fuzz, it's dead skin.
And two, blackheads. I have so many blackheads on my nose and I'm the opposite of you. I do not go after the things growing on my skin. Like
big if mistake.
I have a pimple, it pops on its own. You know, I really give them agency.
Mm-hmm.
And
free reign.
What?
Free reign.
Free reign. And so the blackheads on my nose just, you know, they live there, they pay rent, and they weren't going to be evicted anytime soon.
Are they good tenants?
They are. You know, they're pretty predictable.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes they're late. And that's
yeah,
annoying.
That's annoying.
But I'm a nice landlord.
You should think about it. Watch a bunch of videos. Don't, like, just don't go grab a razor and then fucking shave your face. Like, watch the videos. You have to cleanse. You got to use a witch hazel. And you have to hold the razor at a very specific 45-degree angle. But literally seeing all, like, the dirt, dead skin, and, like, schmutz accumulate on your face as you scrape the razor down is one of the most satisfying things ever.
Okay. Cool. You've influenced me. I have been influenced. And, you know what? I will use your swipe up link so that you can get
the affiliate
code.
You know, you're not easily influenced.
No, I'm not. I'm pretty set in my routine.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I'm influenced by influencers. I feel like at least in the last few years, when I really buy something new or try something new, it's because I've been influenced by influencers.
Me too.
I was so influenced by Sophia Richie's Vogue makeup tutorial. That's really the last thing that really changed my makeup routine.
Like, me too.
Brushing up my eyebrows every day. And now I look at old pictures, my eyebrows were so saggy. And now they're like,
I bought the Bobbi Brown Luminous Foundation from her video, too. It's actually a fabulous foundation.
I bought her eyeshadow. This isn't a story today, but I think her and Scott are back together, which just warms my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Are the
Kardashians and Addison Rae a story?
They are not a story. I meant for them to be a story because that's really, like, the celebrity news that clogged my weekend. But mm-hmm. then when I was looking for stories, like, no one was really writing it up. But
well,
I
let's talk about it.
I think we should talk about it because I think it's important for the culture.
Addison Rae is 19. She's a TikToker, mm-hmm. if you don't know. She's one of the top two, maybe three most famous TikTokers in the world. And she in the past has very few times hung out with Courtney and her family. And I think the impression as consumers that we got is that like Mason's
a obsessed, fan of her work.
Yeah, Mason's obsessed with TikTok. And because he's not 14, he got his TikTok page taken down. So I think in an attempt to be like a cool mom, Courtney Kardashian reached out to Addison. She like came to the house.
It's like Kylie getting the Trolls cast to come over for Stormy is Courtney getting Addison to come over to like be with Mason.
And honestly, it never really seemed so odd to me. Like, I just thought it was like really cute. But this weekend, they did take it to another level where I believe that they're all staying in a house together in Malibu.
That's the impression I'm getting as well.
And my friend Simon is there and I like literally keep texting him. He's not answering me. I'm like, I need to know what's going on with Addison Rae. Because they've taken it to another level, and it's like they're now really hanging out with Courtney.
Yeah, no, they're one big happy family. From what I gather, this is the people in attendance. Addison, Courtney, Courtney's kids, North.
Yes, I saw North.
Simon, Pip.
Simon's Scott. Fiance, Scott. And I don't know if she's there the whole weekend, but Kendall joined them for a beach walk.
Interessant. So I literally, with Faye.
Yes. So I literally saw like
but
Addison.
Then also, Kylie was posting pictures on that staircase the other day.
Wow.
It's really interesting. Maybe the whole family's under one roof. I would love to see that.
With Addison, like, that's crazy.
It feels like she's really fitting in so well.
Honestly, I feel very, like, protective almost over these, like, young TikTokers who are getting literally reaching astronomical levels of fame in record time. And I really feel like a lot of them were, like, made for it. Like, I feel like Charlie and Addison are, like, handling everything that's coming their way really gracefully and like not letting it get to their head. And I really feel strongly that they're good role models for like young girls. And I feel like Addison, I don't know, I'm just like so impressed by her ability to like stay in a house with Kourtney Kardashian for the weekend, you know?
Totally. And as far as like hanging out with good celebrity influences goes, hanging out with the entire Kardashian family, you know, say what you want about them, but they're a great unit. They don't do drugs.
Into
trouble. I really like this for her.
Yeah.
You know, she could be hanging out with anyone in the
any
celebrity
circle.
World that she wants, and she chooses a family moment. And
we love
have,
that.
So we have no choice but to stand.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. Like, I'm curious to know more, like, logistically.
I'm curious to understand, like, is there a friendship, really, between Kourtney and Addison, or is it more of, like, a
Mason thing.
Mason, yeah, because the age difference is...
Right, so to invite one of Mason's, like, crushes, almost, to stay in the house would be weird and inappropriate. So I don't think that that's that. I think maybe her and Kourtney just, like, got along well.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
I would love
to... Because I feel like if Addison were to hang out with, like, any of the Kardashians, it would be, like, Khloe.
Kylie.
No, not even age-wise. I'm talking, like, personality-wise.
Oh, I don't know her personality well enough.
I don't know if her personality type is really like a Kourtney vibe.
It seems like it is.
But when Kourtney Kardashian calls, like, you answer.
Yes, and when Addison calls, you answer. So both girls are picking up the phone.
You know, it's fabulous. I'm really here for it. I have the initial shock like everyone else does, but people are like ragging on it, but I think it's like all fun and good and cool.
No, I had the initial shock and now I'm truly living for it. Like, I'll be sad when this rental is up and everyone goes back to their respective homes.
Yeah.
Because the content is so good and... Addison, like, TikToking with all the kids running in the background. So
insane.
It's just, like, we couldn't dream this up.
It's what 2020 dreams are truly made of.
This was what 2020 was supposed to be.
Yes, but we got sidetracked.
We got so sidetracked.
Oof.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm glad that we have the same thoughts.
Yeah, no, it's just fabulousness all around, oozing with fabulosity.
Yeah, but maybe now that the weekend's over, like, everyone's packing their bags this morning.
I really hope not.
I hope not also, but...
But, like, none of them have real jobs, so...
All good things must come to an end.
That's true. And, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, so I don't want them to, like, start, you know, hating each other because they've been in the same house for so long.
I feel you.
Well, we're wishing them the best.
We are wishing them the best. Okay, I guess now it's time. Speaking of TikTok, I do kind of look like a TikToker today,
Those are very TikTok pants.
With my jeans. Snitch gave them to me.
Oh, did she?
Which is why I look like Snitch.
You do.
So, shout out to Snitch if you're watching this. We miss you. Okay. Now, without further ado, sure. I believe that it is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by patreon.com/themorningtoast, our subscription service. If you love The Morning Toast and you want more, you can pay $7.99 for 5 extra episodes a month. Those 5 episodes can be podcast episodes, they can be vlogs, behind the scenes, more family stuff. You never know what you're going to get when you sign up. It's a great way to get more content and support the show. So the link is patreon.com/themorningtoast. $7.99. It gets you 5 extra episodes a month and admission into our top secret Facebook group, The Toast After Dark, for members only, true lovers of pop culture and all things toast.
Right. So if you love the show and you want more show, head over to patreon.com/morningtoast. Or if you love this show and you just want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/morningtoast.
Before we dive in, I just meant to say I went to dinner last night at Cipriani and I had the cake.
Oh, yes, I saw. Hold on. Let me put down my...
Yeah, no. You know what? So I was trying to explain to everyone at the dinner because I put on my story, RTK, and they were like, what does this mean? And I'm like, well, me and Jackie and our friend Heather, like, went to Amfar Gala. We were having, like, this torturous time. But then, like, we were about to leave, but then this cake came. And they were laughing, but, like, you really had to be there. And I hadn't had that cake in so long. And Real Toasters will remember that episode where... Was it after the Amfar episode where Heather co-hosted with us?
Yes.
And we just...
And, like, we went to this amazing gala, like, so incredible.
Star-studded.
Kim was there, and, like, all we could talk about was this cake.
Especially because I think in the moment, none of us, while we were eating the cake, were, like, communicating how obsessed we were with the cake. But then when we all sat down to recap the night, the only thing we could discuss was the cake.
Yeah.
So I had a piece last night and it was just as good, even though I did eat al fresco last night, and somebody at the table next to me did see a roach. So, and it's, I hate to even say that because it's not an affront or a dig at the restaurant, because it's just a New York problem. It's not like the restaurant is dirtier or less. It's just what life is like here, and a reason why you should never move here. So, yes, I did have an interaction with a roach. I heard them screaming, and I'm like, please don't be a rat. Stop. Please don't be a rat.
Stop. Wow. I thought it'd been a while, you know.
No, I haven't. I really don't eat alfresco dine anymore.
Right, same. So I thought like maybe the problem had solved itself. No. Nope, they're out and about.
So I just wanted to share my little cake
Bonnie
moment.
Bonnie and Clyde.
And you know, you can literally show up to Cipriani and try and buy the whole cake. Like, they'll sell you the cake.
Yeah, someone sent me the whole cake
one. Someone sent me one too. That's a great thing for a birthday. Can you just get me that for my next birthday?
Yeah, sure.
Actually, your birthday's coming up. I'll get it for you.
Thanks. Thanks, Claudia.
Oh, now would also be a great time to remind you that my comedy special is out and available. You can buy it, you can rent it, you could stream it. All the links are on my Instagram in a highlight called Disgrace Queen, and I really appreciate the support and all the positive feedback. It really means a lot to me.
Love it. Okay, now let's get into it.
Okay, sorry. That's all the promo, self-promo for today.
Perfect. Oh, also get your presets at JackieOflo.com. First story, Megan Fox cuddles up to Machine Gun Kelly in new photo. Okay, that's a great headline. There's so much more to this story, you know?
Of course, we have not even cracked the surface.
We haven't even cracked the surface, but the article does. Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly's romance appears to be heating up. The twosome cuddled up in a group photo shared on Friday by Randall Emmett's Instagram page as the film director celebrated production resuming on his thriller Midnight in the Switchgrass in Puerto Rico. Quote, after 4 months apart, grateful to be back in Puerto Rico filming with this amazing cast, adapting to this new world, all quarantined together. Emmett captioned the shot, which also features his fiance Lala Kent, as well as stars Lucas Haas and Emile Hirsch.
So it turns out that this movie set is where Machine Gun Kelly,
which we knew.
Oh, I didn't realize it was a Randall Emmett film.
We knew that. So they had met on the set, but then filming was halted. So they all went back home, but they obviously fell in love on the set. They fell deeper in love in quarantine, and now I'm hoping that we are going to get a movie that's like the Mr. and Mrs. Smith of our time, where these two people are so in love. She left her husband for him.
Can
and
I
the
just
fact
say
that quarantine happened in between makes it all like kosher because they went through all the necessary steps.
Can I just say a Mr. and Mrs. Smith reboot with Angelina Jolie and Machine Gun Kelly would be unbelievable.
With Megan Fox, you mean?
What did I say?
You said Angelina Jolie.
Oh, sorry, Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie was in the original. That would be a fucking sensational movie. I would see that in 2 seconds.
I just mean that level of chemistry where we're watching two people fall in love in a movie.
I know, but you accidentally like created the most genius idea ever.
That too.
I have so many thoughts here. You know that hashtag Megan Kelly. Someone commented on our Instagram how like Megan Kelly is a cute name, like a cute celebrity name for Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox. But honestly, it should be Megan Kelly.
Oh yeah,
that's so much better. So that's now great. Now their names are Megan Kelly,
Megan.
And the second thing is like, I just, Randall Emmett films to me are an anomaly. Like, I hear about them all the time, and I've literally never seen one or like even seen one be in theaters.
Okay, here are some. Actually, I think his most popular film, because it used to be in his Instagram bio, is Lone Survivor. You didn't watch it probably,
but I've heard of it.
Yes. Also, he participated in The Irishman, he says.
Oh, yeah.
And Gotti,
which was the big fat failure.
But also, if you go to his IMDb, there are a lot of other movies. But I think Lone Survivor is the one that was most successful and that he participated the most in.
Interesting.
Whereas I think he participated in The Irishman at like a 1%.
Well, he was just happy to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, cool.
So I think this is such great press for the movie. I'm so excited that Lala Kent is wrapped up in all of this. I hope that they're like getting double date dinners together.
No, I will 100% be seeing this movie. Like, now that I know about it, I'm its number one fan. What's it about?
It's called
Star-Crossed Lovers.
It's called Midnight in the Switchgrass.
It honestly sounds so bad, but
like, but that's I'll be seeing it at midnight when it comes out.
And I will be in the Switchgrass. I will be seeing Midnight in the Switchgrass at midnight in the Switchgrass with a knife, Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And if you look at this photo, they just look like two high schoolers who are so obsessed with
each
other.
No, it's like a post-prom picture, like everyone's tired. Mm-hmm. I need all the other people in the photo to get the fuck out.
Except
for
Lala and Randall.
No, just the four of them.
Yes.
And then everyone else has to go, sorry. Like, I don't know what your role is in the movie, but in this movie, you are not main characters. You are supporting actors and actresses.
Yeah. And if the movie doesn't focus on like a love between the characters that Megan and Gunn play, Mr. Gunn Kelly.
Yeah.
I might be showing up at like midnight the next night.
I have listened to that song, Bloody Valentine, where she's in the music video for it. It's a Machine Gun Kelly song. I have listened to it so many times. It's an absolute banger. I think I'm becoming like Machine Gun Kelly's actual number one fan, not just his celebrity, but also his music fucking bangs.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It is really good.
The emo kid in me is like, you know, in the back of the car, like fucking nodding my head against the window.
Does Ben like Machine Gun Kelly? I feel as though he would.
I'm not sure if Ben knows about Machine Gun Kelly, but I have to play Bloody Valentine for him because that is Ben's chosen genre of music. Yeah. Like emo, like a nod to like 90s Simple Plan. You know, it's like if the singer's being like, yeah, yeah, like that's Ben's genre. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but I feel as though he doesn't discover new music. He just sorts of listens to the old ones.
100%.
I feel
so
that.
I'll start playing it around the house. And then he'll be like, hey, wait, what was that song?
Yeah.
Like my bloody something?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So this is just a beautiful update in the love story that is these two. And I think this is one of the more positive things that has come out of quarantine is that it really gave these two a fair shot. And now they can like go into their love on set. Fairly, because when the last time she was on set, she was technically married, and we
even
thought
though
she was married.
Like,
but like you know, in the public opinion,
no, and like legally, she was married for sure. But that marriage was always 1 minute away from just death.
Yes, and now
and Machine Gun Kelly was here to put it out of its misery.
Thank you. Okay, next story. Jeffree Star has put out a video addressing the Tati Westbrook quote situation.
We have
James
been waiting.
Charles and the drama about him and Shane Dawson in a new video. We have been waiting. I completely forgot that we were waiting.
Me
and
too.
Then a video dropped.
So I think that whoever like manages or does PR for Jeffree Star listens to this show because I gave him advice.
He did exactly what you said he should do.
I said, if he comes out with a video, receipts, and then this, it looks like he's exactly the person Tati was describing, someone who's manipulative, somebody who holds receipts, someone who blackmails people. So for him to have come out and just be like, I don't blackmail people. I don't have any receipts here today. I just like, I'm accepting kind of responsibility for what I did, my part in all of this. So I think that was a really smart move. And it seems like he doesn't really care what people think about his apology video. He just needed to get something out so that he can continue on with the rest of his content. He has launches, apparently. He has lots of stuff, videos filmed. Like, he just wants to move on with his day to day. And like, I think he knows that people either hate him or love him. His video was never going to change people from loving to hating, from hating to loving. He just needed to, for optics, get something out so that he can move on. And the people who ride or die for him are going to be there for him no matter what.
Yeah, he needed to close the book on this and get his opinion on record so that, you know, everyone can reference their favorite YouTuber.
Right.
But he didn't want to fan the flames, which he easily could have, being like, no, this is what happened, blah, blah, blah. But then it becomes bigger and messier, and it's clear that that's not what he wants. So I think that this was the wise choice, especially considering, from what I understand, people are not living for this drama anymore. People are finding it annoying. They're finding all the characters and players in this annoying. And so no one is interested in another video full of tea where they're confused about how to feel and they're like back and forth.
Agreed.
So I think he read the room, realized he needed to say something, and what he was going to say was a whole lot of nothing.
I did have a couple problems with the video. The first problem was the couch. I like literally, I'm a fan of Jeffree Star, and I think that like his makeup brand is super impressive, and I think he has great taste in makeup, and like his clothes are amazing. But his interior decor style is just like honestly so trashy and tacky. Like that couch was just a disgrace. Okay.
Also, the acoustics of the video, because it was so far away.
Yes.
It was fine. I could hear what he was saying, but as a professional YouTuber, it was a strange choice.
Agreed. The second thing I didn't like, which I think he should have brushed off because everyone's entitled to their opinion, but to release a video where it's like you're already being made out to be the villain and then to just dig your grave even deeper by like defending Shane Dawson, where it's like, honestly, I respect that he's your friend and you want to stay loyal to him, but like you just shouldn't have even addressed it in the video, because what Shane is like under fire for is like so abhorrent and disgusting and unforgivable. And I just don't know why you would like attach yourself to that when no one was asking. Like, the video was about you.
Okay, so you think if he made a video addressing everything that's been going on in the last few months and didn't address Shane, that people would have been fine with that?
I literally never expected him to address Shane. Maybe I'm a singular person, but I'm of the mindset, like, you are not responsible for what someone else does or says, even if you're friends with that person. So it's like, I never once expected Jeffrey to comment on Shane's cancellation. Maybe if he were to talk about Shane, it would to be to address what Tati said about them doing together, gaslighting mm-hmm. her. But I never once expected nor wanted to hear his thoughts on Shane, because I know that they're friends. And of course, everyone's allowed to stand by their friends. I wouldn't, because I would not defend someone who's a child predator, but everyone's entitled to do that. And I just thought, like, if he was trying to make the video as, like,
alleged, I mean, as, like, child predator.
Sorry, alleged.
But not even.
No, like, jokes about child yeah. predator. Sorry, I didn't mean to speak out, misspeak. But if he was trying to, like, let the video just, like, slide by, like, standard, nothing crazy, like, I just don't know why he would even bring up the Shane stuff, especially if he's not going to condemn it.
Yeah, so I guess the only reason would be that he thinks it's the right thing to do and that he really stands by his friend and he wants everyone to know that.
So I don't agree with that. And then the other thing I thought was so strange, it's like, I hate when people say, like, there's so much more important things going on in the world, like, that I have to even address this. So if you really feel that way, don't address it. But to just lump together, like, randomly, like, different causes in the video, and then saying all beauty matters, and then saying, you know, which is true. I feel like for as long as I've been watching his videos, he's always pushing and putting pressure on brands to be more inclusive in their shade ranges. And all that was true. I just don't know how that applies to this. Like, it was just a real clusterfuck of, like, information and content, and I didn't feel like any of it was fluid, or it left me confused, and he kept contradicting himself. Like, I don't know. And I'm a really big Jeffree Star fan. It didn't do anything for me. I honestly couldn't even get through it, and it was only 10 minutes.
Yeah, it didn't do anything for me in the sense that I forgot that I watched it, but now I guess we're no longer waiting for a response from him, and he can move on with all of his other endeavors and leave all of this in the past, which I think is what he was trying to do. I don't think he was trying to sway any hearts and minds. I think he's trying to close the book.
You know, eventually, like, people have decided, and there's, like, we watch one video, we're with Tati, and then we're with Jeffrey. Like, that's not really, it can only go back and forth so many times, and I think Jeffrey probably reconciled that he lost a bunch of fans, but he still has, like, ride or die hardcore fans, and they're gonna be the ones to continue to support him, and he just wants to go back to normal, and this was his attempt to do that, like, swiftly. I just did not think the video was well done really in any way, but I put it on our Instagram because I was really curious to hear people's thoughts. And
most of the comments I saw was, like, people didn't even want to watch it. That's how bored everyone is by this story.
So this is from Emily Ranner. She said, I started the video craving a big juicy hamburger, but was served a salad without dressing. Like, 100%. Someone said, the transition from talking about the drama within the beauty community to the atrocities committed against the Black community was very poor. Agreed. Ending it with all beauty matters was another poor choice. Someone said the couch is hideous. It's going to be a no from me, dog. So I think the overall consensus, which, by the way, and this is coming from someone who has been a really big Jeffree Star fan in the past, and I probably still will watch his videos. This video
Does
did nothing for me.
Does this change your Stanhood at all? Like, more or less?
No, because a lot of people are canceling Jeffrey for things that he did in his past that have been rehashed already and he has apologized for, and I'm a firm believer in growth and change, and no, I will still watch his videos, and because, like, let's, even if I do think he was wrong in the Tati stuff, which I think everyone's wrong, I think everybody needs to take responsibility, that's not something I would ever stop watching Jeffrey for. Like, YouTube drama is YouTube drama. Like, yeah, that's why we live for it.
Even when it was happening, I think we all knew that Jeffrey was the bad guy in this story, in this movie.
But that's, like, his vibe. Like, it's...
Yeah, no, and we all sort of just reconciled that and moved on to the, you know, the Shane Dawson documentary, right. And we just moved on. So this didn't move the needle for me at all, forwards or backwards. It's as if I never saw anything.
I'm curious if James Charles has forgiven Jeffrey.
Definitely not.
Definitely not. And if he were to ever, like, I think that would really clear Jeffrey's, like, name. But mm-hmm. I don't think James would ever do that.
I think that he would forgive him, you know.
Hypothetically.
Yeah. On the surface. But, you know, it wouldn't be the same.
Yeah. James Charles hasn't spoken on it. And I don't think he ever will.
Yeah, because now he's just enjoying, you know, the comeuppance that he deserved a year ago. Retribution. And he doesn't need to messy himself with this. He's getting the justice that he deserves. And sometimes you have to let justice just roll out in front of you, and you don't even need to do a thing.
Yeah. Justice truly speaks for itself.
It does. Okay, next story. Hayden Panettiere is breaking her silence on alleged abuse by her ex, Brian Hickerson. Hayden Panettiere has broken her silence on the abuse she suffered at the hands of her ex-boyfriend. The former Nashville star released a statement on social media saying she's coming forward with the hope that she can help others who find themselves in similar situations. Quote, I am coming forward with the truth about what happened to me with the hope that my story will empower others in abusive relationships to get the help they need and deserve. I am prepared to do my part to make sure this man never hurts anyone again. I'm grateful for my support system, which helped me find the courage to regain my voice and my life. In the caption, she added, you're not alone, along with phone numbers to domestic abuse hotlines.
Ugh, I love her so much.
You are not alone.
And there's something really powerful about not only coming forward with your abuse, but having everyone know who you're talking about. Because she's right. Like, this is a dangerous person. And if it's not Hayden Panettiere, it's going to be someone else. You don't just change from, you know, woman to woman. So I, like, love that she did this. I love that she's looking out. Obviously, she probably shared this, you know, for her own mental health, but really for, like, the safety of other women who might come in contact with this man. And, like, if they ever just were to Google him, like, they would know in 2 seconds that's who it is. And I just love that, and I really respect her. And I feel like she's had a really tumultuous personal life for, like, the last couple of years between, like, bad relationships. And I know she struggled with postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. Like, and I love her. I feel very deeply connected to her. I mean, she was in Remember the Titans, which we're going to recap really soon. But she's also in most of, like, my favorite childhood movies, Raising Helen. Like, she's just such an integral part of my childhood. Bring It On. Yes. Bring It On 2.
Three.
Three. With also Solange Knowles, an iconic film.
An iconic film.
We need to add that to our Toast Movie of the Week. But I love her, and I feel, and she, like, really fell off the face of the earth for a while, but it's because she's been dealing with so much in her personal life, and I'm her champion. Like, I love her, and I just want her to be happy and healthy and, like, in a good relationship.
I agree, and I think this is a great step towards doing that. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love her, ride with her, and I hope she's doing well. And
I hope she's doing well.
It's really wonderful of her to put these resources out for other women who might be going through something similar.
Agreed. And hopefully this is, like, the end of a chapter for her and we can start fresh.
Definitely.
Maybe with the new season of Nashville. Who knows?
Oh, you guys. Did you finish Nashville?
No. After it was canceled on ABC, like, I didn't stand that hard to, like, go over to the CMT channel.
No, you missed out. Because then became even more country and, like, less, like, mainstream country. And it's so good. If you've never watched Nashville, like, that's a wonderful show to binge right now.
It's a good quarantine show.
Yeah, it's so good. Then it gets bad, of course, but then it gets good again. And I loved the way that it ended.
There were just some characters in the show that, like, I literally could not fuck with. Scarlett. And then her boyfriend at the time in the beginning, that guy, the tall, skinny one.
Yes. No.
Lyle?
No, the one, not her first boyfriend. With Avery, not Avery.
No.
The other one.
Who's British in real life.
Yes.
Oh my God, the two of them were so fucking annoying. They almost ruined the show. Scarlett, like, honestly, she was the worst character. Like,
wait. She talk like this. I need to find out that guy's name now because it's really, really,
but it is a good show, and it ended up with great music. And
Gunner Scott.
Gunner! And it launched the career of Lennon Stella, which was just fabulous. And we love a Connie Britton moment. Hayden Panettiere, truly star-studded. Deacon was the dad from OBX, mm-hmm. and also the dad from the last song, right?
And also the dad from Jesse. No, not the last song.
Dad that from Jesse, yes. No, it really star-studded.
Really star-studded. So
if you love country music or you just love shows with music, it's a good show.
Yeah, it's a great show. Okay, next story. Prince Andrew was a no-show at his daughter Beatrice's wedding. Well, some good news. The Princess Beatrice was married on Friday. She was a Corona bride, and obviously, you know, she planned to have a big royal affair. Instead, she opted for something smaller, where just her grandparents, Queen Elizabeth II and Prince Philip, were on hand for the socially distanced ceremony in Berkshire. The Daily Mail reported that Bea's father was nowhere in sight as accusations continue to swirl over his repeated past visits to his pedophile pal Jeffrey Epstein's now infamous Little St. James Island in the Caribbean.
I mean, the tea here is running piping hot. Well, first of all, let's start with the wedding. She looked super cute. You know, these girls are so nice. I mean, I don't know them, but they look like nice girls. And I always think of...
I know what you're going to say.
What a girl wants.
But yeah, like the evil stepsisters.
Yeah, that's what they made them out to be. And, like, for my whole life, like, that's what I just associated these girls as. But now watching The Crown, like, understanding their place in the royal family, they're lovely girls. And now they're both married and they're so cute. And I'm, like, happy for them. And she wore the crown headpiece that... Queen Elizabeth wore at her wedding. So the queen gave her something really special.
So she had something special, even though she had like a non-wedding.
And her dad wasn't even there. Now let's talk about the dad. So now that I watched The Crown, I fully understand that Prince Andrew is Queen Elizabeth's son.
Did not realize that before. Did you just think he was like some cousin?
I thought he was related, you know?
Okay.
Big royal family. But he's in it. Like, the queen is his mom.
Charles's brother.
And these are
William's
his kids.
Uncle.
These are his kids.
Yes.
And he's just such a disgrace. Like, he's so inextricably linked with this whole Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein circle. Of all the people, powerful world leaders, rich people, his name gets brought up the most. Yeah. He was so involved.
And I feel like some other powerful rich people are able to, you know, assuage concerns, being like, oh, I didn't know this. There's nothing that Prince Andrew could say that would make anyone believe that he didn't know.
Well, I was watching the Information Discovery Channel Jeffrey Epstein thing, and they said, like, you know, when Jeffrey Epstein and all this stuff was coming out, there were a lot of whispers about Prince Andrew, but it was really, like, not confirmed at all. And the palace, I think, felt that, you know, that Prince Andrew could get out of it in some ways, and he did that sit-down interview with BBC.
Mm-hmm. And he made it so much worse.
And he made it so much worse. It's honestly a hilarious interview. Like, I really recommend, if you're just like not busy, ever watching it, because it's hilarious. This is someone who thinks like his shit doesn't stink, he's untouchable, and then literally he sits down for an interview, and the woman interviewing him is an amazing journalist. She does not let him get by on any of the accounts.
Yeah. Also, Virginia Guifri said that Epstein had trafficked her when she was 17 years old. She's one of the key witnesses.
And there's
she
that
said
picture that, of them.
He forced her to have sex with his friends, including Prince Andrew. She accused the British royal of sleeping with her 3 times during the time.
There's a picture of them together in a townhouse in London.
Yes, but there's a lot of pictures of a lot of people. And as you said, some of these, you know,
well, yes,
some celebrities have found themselves in photos.
With Ghislaine, I said, because her job was being a professional socialite, but these young girls being trafficked,
they weren't
just going to parties with Prince Andrew. They were there for a reason.
Yeah.
Ghislaine just used to show up places because her job was to collect social currency, friends, rich friends, planes. So if you're in a picture with Virginia, what was her, Virginia Roberts, but she's married now, so, but everyone remembers the name Virginia Roberts. If you're in a picture with Virginia Roberts, like, you are fucking shady.
Yeah.
And that Virginia Roberts is strong. Like, I remember in the Netflix documentary, she said how, like, when she first came out against Prince Andrew, and then also she said Alan Dershowitz, she got so much backlash. Like, literally people, they were just doing everything they could to discredit her and her credibility, but it's like not even over. Like, now, like, her name is always the one in the press. And I pray that she has like good people around her, because it's so hard to go through this. And this is literally like 20 years of this.
It's so hard to go through it. And our fifth and final story relates back to our fourth story, because a gunman disguised as a delivery driver kills a son and shoots the husband of a New Jersey federal judge. The 20-year-old son of a prominent New Jersey federal judge was shot dead, and her husband was critically injured in an attack at their home on Sunday evening, according to reports. An unknown assailant disguised as a Federal Express FedEx delivery driver.
Oh, is that what it stands for?
I guess so. Gunned down Judge Esther Salas's 20-year-old son, Daniel Onderl, and shot her 63-year-old husband, Mark Onderl, at the North Brunswick home at around 5 p.m., authorities told the New Jersey Globe. Now, this is a horrible story.
Horrible.
The reason why it relates to what we were just discussing is because recently this judge has been presiding over an ongoing lawsuit from Deutsche Bank investors who claim the company failed to monitor high-risk customers, including the late pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. So this
4 days ago, she got this case.
4 days ago, she got a case related to Jeffrey Epstein. Yesterday, her son is murdered at their home, and her husband has been critically injured.
Absolutely awful. There's no doubt in my mind that these two things are linked, because this is a very elaborate hit. You know, it's not like some man showing up at your house with a gun. Like, there's a FedEx truck and a FedEx uniform. Like, this is an elaborate, well put together hit, and it really only makes you think that, like, powerful rich people are behind it.
Yeah.
Especially given the fact that not 4 days ago she was given the Deutsche Bank case with Jeffrey Epstein. Like, apparently they lied to investors about, even after he, like, was out and known as a predator, Deutsche Bank was lying to their investors about working with Jeffrey Epstein, and they still were.
Yeah.
So the shadiness of Deutsche Bank is, like, a whole other topic here. But first of all, like, this is just such a sad story. Like, I'm sorry that this woman is like just doing her job and trying to serve the American people, and her son and her husband are collateral damage in that. Like, that's horrible, and it's really, really upsetting, and I'm really sorry to her and her family that like this is the cost of just like being a judge. Like, are you fucking kidding me? What the fuck?
No, and I think we've said so many times, obviously now people are, you know, worried that Ghislaine, something mysteriously is going to happen to her. And even with all eyes on this situation, the people who are committing these atrocities are still
shameless
doing it.
Yeah, we're all talking about it. Like, Ghislaine Maxwell's gonna, she's gonna go missing. And it's like, it's not even funny. Like, she's next. She should be like shaking because now, first the judge, there are people there, not to sound like a crazy conspiracy theorist, but there are people who don't want this out. Ghislaine is going to sing like a bird so she doesn't get the maximum sentence. She might even get like a light tap on the wrist for literally selling out every single person. And you know her and Jeffrey kept diaries. They kept sex tapes. They had taped everything on the plane, all their houses. They were all bugged. Like, they have, I don't know where it is, but they have information. They have proof. They have blackmail. And she is going to give every last piece of paper to save her own ass. And there's some very powerful people who it could implicate, and they are not interested in being dragged into this.
Yeah.
And I would bet my life they are behind this atrocity against a lovely judge in New Jersey who was just trying to do her job.
This story is so upsetting.
Very pit worthy. It's a disgrace to the justice system.
It is. And it displays more so than ever. Not that we needed even another reason why justice needs to be served in the case against Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine, but this needs to end.
And I just want to say, anyone, who the fuck would want to be on this jury? You know what I mean? Like, anyone who is involved in any case relating to Jeffrey Epstein, if his name is in one of the depositions or Ghislaine's case, the jury, the bailiff, the judge, the lawyers, everyone needs police protection. Like, I know I sound crazy, but it's true. This is horrible. And Ghislaine's case hasn't even started.
Yeah.
And look, an innocent life was taken of a young 20-year-old man. It's fucking terrible, and it makes me very angry.
Mm-hmm.
Shame. Shame on them. Now, on a lighter note, we're going to switch over to our Toast Movie of the Week recap, which was Remember the Titans. But before I dive into that, allow me a moment to tell you about today's sponsor, Stamps.com. For all of our sakes, we need to avoid crowds any way we can right now. But what if you need to go to the post office? What if you need postage to send out letters and packages? Don't worry, Stamps.com is here to help. With Stamps.com, you can print postage on demand and skip the lines and crowds at the post office. Plus, you can actually save money with discounts that you can't even get at the post office. And if that wasn't enough, Stamps.com also offers UPS services with discounts up to 62% off and no UPS residential surcharges. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer in the safety and comfort of your own home, office, or anywhere else you're hunkering down right now. Whether you're a small business sending invoices, an online seller shipping out products, or you're just working from home and need to mail stuff, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, just leave it for your mail carrier, schedule a free package pickup, or drop it in a mailbox. No human contact is required. And like we said, with Stamps.com, you get great discounts too. 5 cents off of every first class stamp and up to 62% off shipping rates. It is a no-brainer, saving you time and money and keeping you safe in these crazy times. Right now, our listeners can get a special offer. It includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. So if you want to get that special offer, which is a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale, go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Toast. Again, that's stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Toast. Stay safe, my friends.
Love it. Love stamps.com.
Okay. I have so many fucking notes.
About Remember the Titans.
Yes, because I loved it. And I didn't even realize, but obviously it's on Disney Plus, which just made it really premium viewing experience.
I completely agree.
My first thought was how star-studded the movie was. I mean, obviously like Denzel, but I think Denzel was a star even when this movie was made. But Ryan Gosling, young Ryan Gosling, Kate Bosworth.
And Hayden Panettiere, of course.
Oh, okay. So I loved the movie. And I loved the message. I loved everything. I loved the cast. I laughed. I cried. But I had one major problem. And that was Hayden Panettiere's character. Like, not to just be so annoying, but like, my God, she was annoying. Like, we get it. You like football. Like, she was just so, like, I felt like her character, it was obviously someone who was like young and raised a certain way, and it was supposed to, I think, show how that can change. But my God, she was fucking annoying. Like, I
liked her.
Oh, I really did not like her.
She was such a good actress, even at such a young age. And also, I think what she represented was just like this pure love of football, you know, because even when that ref was making unfair calls,
right,
and her dad, Coach Yost, saw the way his daughter was reacting, like, it has nothing to do with race. Like, this is about football and doing what's right and what's fair. And she represented just like the game.
Yeah, I guess every character really served a purpose. I agree. And for me, what I took away from the movie was, like, you know, a lot of the older people in the town who really were the problem, they grew up in a totally segregated city and they couldn't see past like their own fucking racial like mindset. Yeah. Whereas like kids are so like when they all went to camp and got out of like the bullshit politics of the town, like it was easier for them to just like get along. Like they're just boys. Like they like football.
Yeah,
and
they
music.
Have common interests.
So it really highlights like the whole, and what we've been saying is like racism is really learned and it can be unlearned. And as a kid who's just like, you know, living and there who isn't fully developed yet, like it's much easier. Whereas like these older people who are so set in their ways, it wasn't until Denzel Washington was like this amazing coach and everyone loved him and he won all the games that people finally started to respect him when they should have just respected him the second he moved to the city.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, wait, I have more notes. Hold on.
Okay.
I can't believe Ryan Gosling like became so famous and like this was one of his movies because honestly, he had the tiniest role and he didn't even look cute. Like,
no, he was like didn't look like he should be on a football team.
Agreed.
But I liked his character. He was cute.
Well, so many of the characters on the football team were so funny. Like that, I was really laughing a lot at the movie, which I didn't expect.
So much.
I loved that Julius and Gary, and Gary was the one who, spoiler alert, ended up passing away. I loved that, like, they were both, like, obviously the leaders of their individual groups of friends, but they were so, in the beginning, like, not willing to change. They were, like, the most rigid, and then, like, immediately, like, something clicked at camp, and they just became, like, best friends, and then when he was in the hospital, she was like, are you blind? That's my brother. Like, I was living, and then, like, the way Julius, and his mom was, like, really, Gary's mom was, like, really close-minded, like, at the bus when he dropped them all off, and when Julius came over and, like, gave him mom a hug and picked her up. Like, I was literally sobbing.
No, sobbing. Their friendship between them was so wonderful to watch, like, the way it all played out. I agree with what you said about, like, what happened at camp, like, when they were able to just detach from their community and what people expected of them and just, like, be high schoolers playing football. Like,
yeah.
It's not about race. And they're a better team because of it.
Right. And I can't believe this is like The Color of Friendship. Again, a true story. Like,
oh my God. I love that it was a true story. I love that they told me in the beginning that was a true story because I would have found out after and been like, oh my God, I can't believe that's a true story.
Yeah.
And I love truly every single minute of it.
So I was talking about it on my Instagram and I'm like, I can't believe I've never seen this movie. And Ben couldn't believe I had never seen it either. And I was talking to Zach Shapiro last night because it's like, as boys, like they loved this movie. And maybe it was because we grew up in a house of all girls. But
I feel like we had to have seen this movie, but I don't remember.
Right. Well, I was saying on my Instagram, I'm like, this should really be like required viewing in middle schools because honestly, I felt like it was such an accessible movie, and it spoke about like serious, sad stuff in a very digestible way.
Yeah.
And I thought it was perfect for kids. And literally, everyone responded to me, and they're like, "It is required viewing." Like, literally, everyone in the country has seen this movie. They're like, "Literally, they made us watch it once a year in gym class." Like, everyone DM'd me. So maybe it was just our school, but I feel as though my schooling failed me.
Yeah. Oh my God, that is really funny.
Yeah. No. Literally, everyone was like, "I've seen this movie like 100 times." They make you watch it at the beginning of the year.
That is really,
but, you know,
funny.
But I'm glad. I hope that they're still doing it because good. It's such an applicable movie. And oh my God, Ben was so. Whenever I cry during movies, Ben makes me feel so uncomfortable. Like he's literally like comes up in my face. Are you crying?
There's like tears falling. Cry?
No, it's so annoying. And Ben doesn't really cry at movies. He was sobbing, and it took every mature bone in my body like not to go up in his face. Are you crying? But I did, and he was so emotional. And I was confused because they start the movie with a funeral.
Yes.
And then Gary gets into the accident and you're like, oh, he's obviously the one who dies.
Oh, I didn't think that because the ages of mostly Hayden Panettiere, she was
so older. I didn't remember. I just saw like a blonde girl. So I can't believe that Gary was the one who ended up dying in another car crash. Mm-hmm. Like what, misfortune.
Yeah.
And it's a true story. I obviously like Googled all the people afterwards. I was just so like interested in seeing what they looked like. And they did a great job of casting people who really looked a lot like their original characters. And I loved the movie. Like, I was really wanting to be like a part of the team. The guy Lewis, who said he was too dumb to get into college. Oh my God. By the end, he had a C+ average and he's hugging Denzel Washington.
And now he's like a prominent businessman.
And that's what I said to Ben. I'm like, people think it's just like high school football, like it's so silly, but it's like, it really sets the tone for your rest of your life. And really like making, especially a lot of these kids who like might not have had going on, they weren't good at school. I mean, good in school. It gives them like a sense of purpose. And at a young age, that's like really valuable. And I said, I'm like, look at them. They all went on to have like amazing careers in, you know, the schooling system, in sports, like in other stuff. And that wouldn't have been possible if like no one really made them feel like a winner and feel like they were important when they were in high school.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like those school activities, whether it be football or other, being a part of a team, learning these skills, doing, you know, going 3-day practices when that's not what you would choose to do with your summer, definitely.
It makes a man out of you.
It does.
And that guy Lewis, like, he was just like, I'm not going to college. And then he ended up having this like flourishing career.
Yeah.
Oh man, I always say this because it's a theme with all the movies. It's like, if any of the movies that I watch ends with a black screen and white text, like, you know it's a good movie. And this one, it had the white text.
No, and you know, even if the movie wasn't good up until that point, like, now I love it. But I loved every single minute of the movie.
It's impossible not to get chills when that text flashes on the screen.
No, it's impossible. And I love, like, I'm so glad they showed us what everyone else was up to. It was kind of surprising that no one really went on to play professional football.
I thought that too.
Considering they were the second best team in the state, country. In the country. So aren't those players like the second best players in the country? Like, don't they go to the NFL? But
I thought that too.
I guess it doesn't work that way.
No, but I, upon researching, I saw a picture of Denzel Washington and the character in real life meeting, and it was so, I like got really emotional. And the coach, actually Coach Boone, died literally December 2019. He just passed away. But what a legacy.
What a legacy.
What a life.
Wow.
Fabulous amazing. Movie. Thank you to whoever suggested it, because that is,
I even feel like I learned some stuff about football too.
Oh no, I don't.
Like, just the way that plays go.
Well, yes, actually what I did learn is like football is obviously like the best athlete, but it's very strategic. Like the plays, yes. And when they got the math coach to like put, math teacher to like put all these numbers together for Hayden Panettiere's dad. There were so many characters, by the way. I literally don't know anyone's name. Like, I know like Julius Gary and like the coaches, but like the teammates, I don't know any of their names.
Oh, I know some of them. Rev, and then there was Ray, who got the boot.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was just hard. I was like, literally, I know like their numbers, but I couldn't remember their name. But Hayden Panettiere's dad, when he got that playbook or whatever with the math teacher's notes, like football is really also like strategy and numbers.
Yes.
Which I didn't know. Like, the plays, you can be a good team, but if you don't have good plays, then you're not going to make it.
Yeah, it's about the whole thing.
It's about the whole thing. Okay, so that was our movie. And then for our next week movie, which we'll be recapping on Monday, we're doing Black Panther, which Ben is going to be so excited about, because I don't really watch, like, superhero. I don't watch Marvel. I actually never even saw Wonder Woman. And Ben says that this was his favorite movie he ever saw. Actually, he also said about Remember the Titans, so like maybe he's just lying. He's going to be thrilled to know that I'll watch it with him.
Yeah.
So it's Black Panther, like one of the highest grossing movies of all time.
Yeah.
I heard it's phenomenal, and I don't think the highest grossing movie of all time would be bad.
Right. I'm so excited.
Except Avatar was a little controversial.
I never saw
it. And it was the highest grossing movie of all time.
That is actually, like,
and I didn't really like it.
Well, I don't think I would like it either, which is why I haven't seen it.
Okay. Well, that's all she wrote. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we post videos on YouTube Monday through Friday, and we're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found, so that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places, wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We love you guys very much, and we hope you have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.